This morning, if you'd care to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua, way back in the New Testament. Old Testament, I'm sorry. I've been having one of these months. Joshua. And we're going to look at chapter 24 and verses 14 through 28. If you care to stand for, in honor of the reading of the word. Joshua 24, starting at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eye to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in regions beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land that you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us out of our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive transgression of your sin. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and then put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the tethpin that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us. It has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. Lord, we ask that you just give me your words to speak today and help us to understand what wonderful things you have for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. It's that time of year. I want to look at some other things here before we get back to this. I want to look at King David a little bit. We know he was considered to be probably the greatest king that ever was in Israel. Everybody looking forward to the Messiah coming back to set up the kingdom like David had. It'll be much better, but they're looking forward to it. King David was a great king. We know he had some times of failings, of making mistakes. But even when he made mistakes, he knew how to repent. And God restored the fellowship. I want to look just a moment at what was the secret to his success. Why was he such a great king? Why did God love him so much? I think we can find that in in the book of Psalm, chapter 119. This would be some of David's writings. I don't know exactly when he wrote it, but the principle applied through his whole life. We've seen that. Psalm 119, looking at verses 9 through 16. Excuse me. How can a young man keep his ways pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. That says a whole lot. There's a whole lot there. But thinking about it, he's hiding the word of God in his heart. And this is audience participation time. How did he do that? How do we hide God's word in our heart?
Reading the word.
Reading the word, that's a good one. Was there another one?
Praying.
Praying, talking to the Lord.
It says, "Do your word I've hidden in my heart." So memorizing the word.
Memorizing it.
Witnessing.
I'm sorry.
Witnessing.
That could be, as we share it and stuff, yeah. There's a lot of different ways. There's no right answer here, no wrong answer. We meditate on it, we memorize it, we read it. And I think the amount of these things that we do compared to the amount of other things we do has a big bearing on it. If we read God's Word for 15 minutes a day, and we read other magazines or do other things for 6 hours of the day, the proportion is small, and we're not going to get the full benefit that we would if we could spend more time reading the Word, memorizing it, meditating on it, thinking on it constantly. And that's what David, I think, did. He meditated on it, he read it, he was familiar with it, he was always talking to the Lord, always praying. And that's, I think, a lot of what led to his success, even though he failed with Bathsheba. Once it was pointed out to him that he had failed and what it was, he repented. And God restored his fellowship. We see that with him. And then we look at Joshua, what we read there. The idols were an issue with the people of Israel. They had came into a land, the Lord gave them a land, a wonderful land. But it was filled with people that had other religions, other forms of worship, other than the true and the living God, or instead of the true and living God. And for whatever reason, humanity seems to be drawn to these other things. These people, all through their history, have been drawn to worship the idols, the gods of other nations. I mean, logically, it doesn't really make sense, because the true and living God, the Almighty God, did so many wonderful things. He brought them out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea so that they could go across. He destroyed the Egyptians that were following after. He led them through the wilderness, miraculously supplied them with manna to eat, and quail to eat, and water to drink. But still, they had the tendency to wander off and serve other gods, or worship other gods, or sacrifice to other gods. It just doesn't, logically it doesn't make sense, but I know we're all prone to it, or at least I have the tendency to want to do other things and spend more time doing whatever than reading the Word. I'm not a good reader, as you all know, so I kind of use that as an excuse, perhaps, to not read so much. But nonetheless, we need to spend time, whether it be physically reading it or listening to good gospel preaching, ministers preaching and teaching, or there's many applications on phones and on the internet where you can have the Word read to you. They have people that actually read very well. Read it, and you can listen to it. We put the Word in our heart. We hide it in our heart, that we know what God's plan is. We know what's right and wrong. We don't have to question it. We don't have to wonder. We know. And that's just kind of the way we can be somewhat like David and helping us to know and to do what is right. It's part of our toolkit that we have, is knowing the Word of God. We see that when Jesus himself was being tempted of the devil, he used Scripture, he quoted Scripture in his defense, in his battle against the evil one. And we should do the same. We should have the Word in our heart so that we know it when hard times come, when the enemy attacks us, we'll have an answer. We'll be able to quote the Scripture and say, "Your Word says," and whatever it may be. I want to move on and look a little bit at King Solomon, David's son with Bathsheba. Wasn't his first one. First son died, was taken. Book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Amorite, Edomite, Sidon, Hittite, women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, "You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord. God gave him a command, gave the people of Israel a command. Don't marry the women of this land that I have given you, because they will pull you away from me. Solomon, when he was young, the Lord offered him basically whatever he wanted. Ask what you want. And young Solomon very wisely asked for wisdom. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for many things. But he asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom so that he could properly lead God's people. God honored that. God honored Solomon and blessed him greatly, prospered him greatly through his life. But we see in the end that he was kind of a failure. He ended up losing the whole kingdom. The kingdom was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Each of these had a series of kings that, for the most part, weren't good and didn't follow God. A few did, but it all kind of went downhill, and basically because he failed to obey God. He allowed other things to come in, to crowd in front of God, to crowd in and take more of his worship than God, God. And we see that in our lives today. You know, forgive me if I'm out of line here, but I think cell phones are one of the most evil things that have been created. I was probably one of the first people, early people, to have a cell phone. It was a bag phone. So way back when they were first starting to come out, I got one because I was driving back and forth to work and coming home at 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning and all kinds of weather. So I have had one probably longer than most of you have. But what I see today is very disturbing. The phone is almost inseparable from some people. I don't think anybody here has that particular issue. Maybe Kelsey, I'll pick on you. But you can walk down the street or stand outside a store or something and watch people. And there's so many people that you see, their faces down, the phone is in front of them, and they've got their thumbs going like crazy. They're not looking where they're going. Their whole life is consumed in this electronic device, communicating with their friends, looking at social media and all these other things. I'm pretty sure that that's coming before God in their life, that they're paying far more attention to the social media than they are to God's Word. And there's so many things that can come into our lives. I think each one of us could probably analyze our own life and see areas where we may be spending more time on that than we are worshiping the Lord of creation, the Lord our God. We need to be careful to put God first in everything. It's hard, but we need to make sure that we honor God by putting Him first. Hide His Word in our hearts so that we know it and can use it. And remember, Jesus is the Word, the truth, and the life. Keep Jesus forefront in everything that we say and do and think and feel. And as our memory verse said today, trust God. He knows what we need. He'll take care of us. Put Him first. Put Him first in all things, at all times. And He'll take care of all the situations for us. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word, for Your love, for Your mercy, and for Your grace. Help us, Lord, to make a conscious effort to make sure that we put You first in all things, and that we do take the time to put Your Word in our heart so that we'll know